I'd like you first to turn to Genesis chapter 19. Read the story. Not a very nice story, if you're familiar with Genesis 19, but one which provides the foundation of what we're going to be looking at tonight. Genesis chapter 19. It says in verse 1, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge now? Now will we judge worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law, or jested, like he was just joking. Verse 15, And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Escape, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. There's one command in the New Testament to specifically remember an individual. And it was spoken by Jesus. He said, Remember Lot's wife. It's one of the shortest verses in the New Testament, in the Bible. That's the verse, Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. Tonight, we want to look at the legacy of somebody who was charmed by the world. And it's Lot's wife. If you have your Bibles, please open it to Luke chapter 17. We've read the account in Genesis, but we want to remember Lot's wife. Why? Because Jesus so commands it in Luke 17:32. In this passage, Jesus is talking about his second coming. Let's read it beginning in verse 20 of Luke 17. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he said unto the disciples, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, 'See here,' or 'See there.' Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." So that's the first illustration. No, here's the second illustration. "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, "Where, Lord?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." Jesus is here talking about his second coming, not the rapture. He is talking about his second coming. We talk about the rapture as being the second coming, but we're talking about where Jesus comes and his feet literally touch upon the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, the city that exists today where the U.S. Embassy has been moved, Jerusalem, Israel. His feet will one day touch upon that mount. And that could be sooner than we think. His second coming is associated with the judgment of God. The days of Noah and the days of Lot are upon us. The church will have been taken up in the rapture when what is recorded here in Luke 17 takes place. We will not be on this earth. With the Christians gone, think of all the fun the world's going to have. Think of the fun they're going to have. There's no one here to hold them back. Look at the fun as it's mentioned in verse 27. Eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given a marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Everything's going to be great. So they think. But then here's what Jesus says in Matthew 24:30, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And when this happens, Jesus gives us the warning of verses 30 to 33, and he is here stressing the certainty and the suddenness of his coming. People will be caught unprepared. That's not us. Talking about those who are here on this earth during the tribulation. When Jesus comes to rapture the church in the clouds, it happens in a twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15. The world won't see him. And we don't have to worry about being on a housetop or in a field, as this passage describes. But when he comes at the end of the tribulation, his second coming to this earth, he comes to the earth for the judgment of the world, and everybody will see him. Here's what it says in Revelation 1:7. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And some may hurry and try to rescue something. Those who are taken in Luke 17 are not taken to heaven. They are taken to judgment. Those who are left are believers who enter the kingdom. Think about the analogy given here. When the flood came, who was taken in judgment and who was left behind on this earth? Noah was left. Think about Lot. When the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, who was left out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot. So although the primary application of this is to Israel in the last times, it is also a warning for you and for me to be prepared when Christ returns for the church, because soon thereafter we will be judged at the Bema seat. We will give an account of ourselves, of every work that we've ever done. Is it wood, hay, and stubble? Or is it gold, silver, and precious stones? So not for our sins, but for our works as believers. And we must not have the mentality of Lot's wife. You see, she gives us the legacy of somebody who was charmed by this world. And for that reason, our Lord commands us, remember Lot's wife. Well, what should we remember about her? And this is where you go back between Genesis 19 and Luke chapter 17. What do we remember about her? Three things I want you to see about her. Number one, remember her lingering. Remember her lingering. If you've got your Bibles, if you still have your thumb or your finger there in Genesis 19 like I don't, I'm going back there, Genesis 19. Again, note verses 15 to 16. The angels are there. When the morning arises, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Let's go. We've got to move quickly. And what does it say they do in verse 16? And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought them forth and set him without the city. Judgment is about to fall. And what is she doing? She's lingering. Lot's lingering. The daughters are lingering. Remember her lingering. When Jesus says, remember Lot's wife, remember that she lingered. That she was hesitant. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to get moving and somebody lingered and held you up? My wife and I were staying in a hotel in Hutchinson, Kansas. And the alarm came on in the middle of the night. And the speakers came on. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. It was in June because we were there at the end of our honeymoon. And all of a sudden, it's like, get to the basement, tornadoes. And I got up and said, honey, let's go. She said, I got to go. And she started grabbing things. I said, Juanita, we've got to get downstairs. She'd never been in a tornado in Kansas, I guess. I guess she had never seen Wizard of Oz. I don't know. I said, honey, we've got to go. Lingering. I mean, why do people linger when something bad is about to happen? You think, well, I've got time. The scriptures are serious about doing things now. Can you think about the passages that have to do with doing things now? For example, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What about 2 Corinthians 6:2? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Or Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve. Don't linger. Choose. Make the decision today. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. Or Psalm 95, 7 and 8, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's repeated in Hebrews chapter 2. Men and women linger today in getting right with God And judgment's right around the corner. The judgment's about to fall. A sinner thinks that they can escape the judgment of God. Or they say, I have time. Have you ever witnessed to somebody and he said, you know, one day? Paul, one day. When I have a convenient time. She wanted to linger around. What was there to linger for in Sodom? But the Lord being merciful unto him. Think about a Christian who is living in known sin, who thinks that he or she will escape. You think about young people who think that, you know, they've got all their life. But I think of those who linger in their sin. They linger in Sodom, in their rebellion. And God may be merciful. But in that spiritual condition, don't you recognize God's mercy? And you say, well, how is God merciful to me in a situation like that? Do you think, and I'm quoting here now, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The fact that some Christians who are living in sin, or even those who are not saved, are not right away struck by a bolt of light. You know how the people joke about, well, if God just, you know, if he doesn't like this, let him strike me dead right now. They don't understand something. That God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's goodness to you. In Noah's day, God said this, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And anytime you're under conviction, it's God being merciful as his spirit strives with you. The fact that God is striving with you, the fact that you're under conviction is God's mercy. God is being merciful as his spirit strives with man, but he doesn't do so forever. You could leave a church service like this one under conviction. It could be the last time. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So when Jesus says, remember Lot's wife, remember her lingering. Judgment's about to fall. Remember? She lingered. What caused her to linger? Judgment's about to fall. And we naturally linger when we're about to lose the things that we love. So that's the second thing. Remember her love. Remember her love. Before Sodom, nothing is said of Lot having a wife. So where do you think Lot found his wife? Perhaps he met her there. She was a native. And Lot's wife left Sodom, but Sodom never left her. You know, the place where you're born is something that is special to you, even if you don't like that place today, but it still holds a special place. It was the same attraction for the children of Israel for Egypt. As Christians, we have left Egypt, but remember that Egypt never leaves you. It's a constant battle of the flesh, and the question is, who is winning? When you look at verse 3 of chapter 17 of Luke, and it says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. There's parallel verses. Listen to John 12:25. Jesus said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. So remember her love. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Mark 8:35 to 20. 36. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Remember her love. There are those who love the things of this life so much they live as if there is no tomorrow. They live as if there is no death. They live as if there is no eternity. Each time Jesus says they will lose what they desperately try to hold on to. And we enviously look at the world around us and we comment, you know, they have so much. Really? If you're going to lose it, did you ever really have it? Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our attitude should be what Paul had in Philippians 3, where he says this in verses 7 and 8, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of everything. But he goes on and says, but I count those things as dung, that I may win Christ. Lot's wife's love was her loss. Perhaps this, we could call this point, instead of Lot's, to remember her love, to remember her loss. It's the same thing, because her loss was due to her misplaced love. You love this world, you lose everything. You love Jesus Christ, you gain everything. You need to remember Lot's wife, because it's so easy to have her mindset that what is in this world is more important than what is in the next world. Or that what is in this world, I can take into the next world. When my dad was on his deathbed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, life seemed so short to me. You know what? The things that he possessed in this world were no longer a big deal to him. I could have told him, Dad, you want a new car. What would that mean? The only thing significant is that what pertains to eternity. And it's about what he talked a lot about at the end. I just want to know that my family is in the fold. Remember the love of Lot's wife. As the admonition that is given in 1 John 2:15 to 17, love not the world. So remember her what? She lingered. Remember what, secondly? Her love or her loss. And lastly, remember her look. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. You go back to Genesis 19, you look at verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Why would the angels say, don't look back? Have you ever wondered about that? Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And there, then verse 26, but his wife, out loud please, looked back. Don't look back. So what does she do? She looks back. She is known for her looking back. That's how we remember Lot's wife today. That's her legacy. That's the legacy of somebody who was charmed by this world. It's simple. Oh, she looked back. She looked back. It was because of what she loved that she lingered. It was also because of what she loved that she looked back. That is the picture, folks, of a worldly, carnal person taking the world's cue as to what is important and looking at it as if this is what's going to last me forever. Somebody once said, if there is anything in this world you need in order to be happy, you are worldly. That's a pretty high standard. We think of worldly people as people, you know, who are the down and outs and grungy and dirty and filthy and so forth. But the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Sometimes Christians themselves look like death. I'm talking about unhappiness. Because they're carnal, they're worldly, and they're always looking back at what they've left behind. They're seduced by the love of this life. Here's an example of unhappiness. Proverbs 14, 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Jesus said this in Luke 9, 62. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So here's Lot's wife. And instead of being useful as the salt of the earth, metaphorically, she literally became a useless pillar of salt. Salt that lost his savor and is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. I remember visiting Israel back in 1985, and we're driving along the highway that goes along the Dead Sea. And the further south you get in the Dead Sea, the more it becomes salt, and it becomes more salty until you have salt bergs in the Dead Sea. Salt floating in the Dead Sea. I remember swimming in the Dead Sea. You don't really swim, just floating in the Dead Sea. You cannot drown in the Dead Sea unless you're an idiot. You get in there and you literally cannot dive below. I tried it, and that was stupid in itself because it was all salt. And I came up and I was screaming with pain because it was in my eyes. It was at every cut that I had from shaving that morning. And I couldn't open my eyes for 10 or 15 minutes. And yet people go there because of the medicinal qualities of that, the mud on the banks, the minerals and so forth. But as we're driving along the highway, the guide all of a sudden pointed out and said, look out your windows and you're going to see Lot's wife right there. Many do believe that Sodom and Gomorrah was on the shores of what is now the Dead Sea. And that when the fire and the brimstone fell from heaven, it is what made what was like the Garden of Eden. It's described that way in Genesis, that Sodom and Gomorrah was described as the Garden of Eden. That it became what it is today because of man's sin. Folks, listen to me. The worst environmentalists in this world are the wicked. They're the ones who always cry about, oh, we need to be saving this earth. And yet, where is the destruction taking place? Where is the filth? It's in San Francisco. And it's coming to a Boulder city near you. She was saved from the judgment fire, but she was totally useless. Lot's wife. She was struck dead and became a visible monument to those who would follow her example. So when the guide pointed out Lot's wife there, let me tell you something. She was one ugly woman. We know it's not Lot's wife, but that's what they say today. There's Lot's wife. I do have a picture of her if you'd like to see it sometime. If I could dig it out of all my files somewhere. But folks, the compass in her heart pointed to Sodom and caused the compass in her head to do the same, to her destruction. Note something. Your heart will eventually turn your head, so you better make sure your heart's right. Because the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So many Christians who seem to outwardly conform but rebel inwardly will one day have their head following their heart and their feet will not be far behind. I like this saying that Dr. Bob Senior used to have. If you give God your heart, he will comb the kinks out of your head. The temptation for Lot's wife was to look back at whatever she's losing. What was she losing in Sodom and Gomorrah? Her popularity? Her things? Her friends? And it's just intriguing to me that the angels specifically said, don't look back. And then she does that very thing. It's almost like when you tell your kids, now don't, and then they do. Because you said don't. And so you know what people say today? If you don't want people to not do, then don't tell them not to do it, because they'll do what you say they shouldn't do. Well, that's stupid. Why? If the Bible says, and if they said don't look back, then don't look back. And if the Bible says don't do it, then don't do it. Yet she was such an insignificant woman that we today, we don't even know her name. She's known as Lot's wife. That's how insignificant she was. And yet we know the names of those who live for the Lord. You know the name of a man by the name of Joseph. You know the name of a man by the name of Abraham. You know Jacob. You know Isaac. You know David. You know these men of God, Elijah, Daniel, and so forth and so on. Because these were men who lived according to the scriptures. You see, those who live only for this life aren't worth remembering. But the ones who are worth remembering are those who live for the Lord. And yet Jesus still said, remember Lot's wife. Remember her lingering? Remember what she loved? Remember her looking back? Now, take that as an example, especially as we come to the end of the days, that folks, our love is not in this world because we're soon to leave it. And let's not linger here for any longer than what the Lord has us to be here to accomplish His purposes. And let's not look back. Let's do what God has called us to do. We're all going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ one day, very soon, face to face. And I say that, and we all kind of sit back and yawn a little bit. It could be through death, or it could be His soon return. And that's what I'm praying for. I'm praying with the apostle in the book of John. Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Are you prepared? Or would there be lots of last minute scurrying around to get things in order? The warning you need to heed is this. You won't have time. Remember Lot's wife. Who said it? Jesus Himself. Remember her.